grandma and go for lunch. I mean, it's wonderful. I miss my mom, you know, she's far away. But because of Mother's Day, we're going to move our anniversary, our 6-year anniversary, 1 week later. So we're going to pass 1 week. And John is going to be here celebrating our 6-year anniversary. Is that okay? Right, and you can bring your mom. You know? All right. And, oh, mom can say, you know what? Kids, I want you to come with me. And he's going to think so. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray for the scriptures this morning. Let's get our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this time of worship, prayer, intercession. And Father, now I want to go in this time of listening to what you have to say to us. Father, I trust your Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us into what we're going to say today. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody's cell phone is reacting to this microphone. It would be good if the Holy Spirit, if God just speak to us through his cell phone.
Hello.
Who's that? Me. All right. Okay. My mind is all over the place. I'm thinking 5-6 things at the same time. We're going to show a movie one day. We're going to let you know. It's going to be at my place. I believe it's going to be a Saturday, you know, probably evening. That's probably the best day for everybody to be able to make it. And this movie is literally real life story of people who have a spiritual encounter with Jesus. And a few of them are radical Muslim. I think one of them is an imam who Jesus come and appear to him and reveal himself to him while he was seeking. And there was one girl, 16 years old, I think. She's from Indonesia. And how when she received, she was praying and the Lord appeared to him and revealed himself to her. She was so confused. She said, "You're the God of the Christian. I'm confused right now. I don't know what to do." Because she said, "God, if you told," her prayer was, "God, if you show yourself to me, I will follow you." Just, you know, she wanted to know who God is. And the Lord appeared to him in Jude, and she was so confused at one. And then she went to her parents, and the parents literally kicked her out of the house at 16 years old because of the Lord Jesus. And they told her, you're Muslim, you cannot become a Christian, impossible. We don't want you to be in this house anymore. So the parents said, you're on your own. You have to provide a house for yourself. You have to find food for yourself. You have to clothe yourself. And there she goes. And she hold on to Jesus. And the next thing is just miracle after miracle after miracle. Right? And later how she brings salvation to the place where she was kicked out. And her aunt's relatives. It's a powerful testimony. So there's so many things happening. This is not my message, by the way. One of the largest church, Muslim church in the world today, you will be surprised. It's in Egypt. Egypt has one of its church, but because of persecution, because of bombing and you know, suicide and all this kind of thing, attack and persecution, and a lot of people don't go literally physically to the church, but every week they have different website. But they bring their church service live on their website. And every week, over 3 million of a church member hit their website every week, faithfully every week, over 3 million people. You hear what I'm saying? Over 3 million people in Egypt, believers, In Iraq right now, in the last 10 years, there's an over a million new Muslims has been converted into being Christian. The statistic was last year was saying that China in 10 years is going to be a Christian nation, but now it's saying that it could be in 7 years. So many things are happening in China. The greater the persecution, the greater they pass the test, and the greater they keep going, God increase and increase and increase. Whether the persecution, the church going into North America or in the Western world, it's a different way. But their persecution is different. So we're looking at why the church in the West compared to the East. I don't know if you listen to the Minister of Finance, Jim. This week, officially, the government of Canada has, it's not just the Canadian government, is basically the G7 government has, in the next 50 years, the G7 nation is not going to be any of this nation that presently, right now. The G7 is going to be China, India, Russia, Brazil, Mexico, Turkey. And you look at this nation and say, what is happening in this nation? And I can tell you one thing they have in common. Many people are turning to become Christian. You hit the website in Turkey, you find that a lot people in Turkey are giving their life to Jesus. It's amazing. And if we want to be able to keep going, we want to see that Canada, this nation, keep going up into its destiny and stay in the things that God has planned and purpose in this nation. One thing we need to understand is we need to reach out. We need to minister. We need to share. We need to bring salvation to those out there. That's what we need. We need to bring righteousness in the homes, in the lives of people. That's what will exalt a nation. God, give me the grace and the mercy and the privilege to go to China and to minister to the church in China. And door was open for me to go there to minister one of the largest, actually the largest network in China. And it's amazing how we think about what's happening, and the church in China are moving powerfully. And we have network and stream. Stream is about a couple of million people, but network is about a couple of 100 million people. And to be able to go there and minister to the Father's heart, which is one thing that they really, really, really need, is understand the love of God. Is to have the love of God in your life. And I believe this is where we're going here as well. You can know God love you. It doesn't mean you're walking in the love of God. You can know that you can have peace with God, but it doesn't mean that you have the peace of God in you. You can know that in His presence there's joy. It doesn't mean that you have the joy of the Lord. This is what God wants us. The scriptures say that the kingdom of heaven is not of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. We need to invite people into that righteousness, peace, and joy. If somebody invites you to come eat and drink, have a fiesta, you say, I'm coming. But if somebody isn't going to invite you, say, can you come to righteousness, peace, and joy? What are you going to say? What are you talking about? What does that mean? You understand? So this is a thing, we need to understand that. We need to go in this place. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 12, I want to keep going where I left from last time to understand the perfect will of God in your life. Only the Spirit of God that can speak to your spirit, minister to your spirit, and when your spirit receives from the Holy Spirit, then your spirit becomes strong. And when your spirit becomes strong, that righteousness of God is in your spirit, that peace and joy is like it's almost you've been baptized in that presence of God in your life. And then your spirit, when it's energized with the anointing of God, doesn't mean that your soul is in the right place with your spirit. Your soul can be a totally different realm. Your soul can look at the situation, look at experience, look at the past, and can be totally screaming against your spirit. But then your spirit needs to reach out to your soul. That's why the Bible says that you are the high priest of your life. But as your spirit needs to minister to your own soul, how do we do this? My spirit will speak to my soul. What my spirit receives from the Holy Spirit, I receive that anointing. I receive that righteousness. I receive understanding. I receive revelation. And my spirit will speak to my soul. That's why David speaks to his soul many times. Bless the Lord, O my soul. My soul, why are you so downcast? Rise up. And a lot of us, we don't do that. But we're going to learn to do it. We're going to invite my soul. Soul, I invite you to come into the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. But right now, soul, you're not at peace. You're confused. You try to analyze everything. You can't trust God. You're trusting. You look at every fact and everything around you, but you need to come to this place to be able to trust God. So your spirit is going to reach out to your soul. When your soul starts to yield and accept from the spirit and stop fighting, peace is going to be the extension of that invitation. When that your soul now is coming with your spirit, is alignment in the right place, next thing you know, your soul is going to be aligned and it's going to be receiving the same anointing that is in your spirit is going to be on your soul. Your soul is going to rejoice like the Holy Spirit. No matter what's going around, your soul is going to sing and be, you know, Philippians 4, let your request be made known and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will be upon you. There's another scripture said that you will prosper as your soul prosper. As your soul prosper in the righteousness, in the keys of the kingdom, God has given us the keys of the kingdom and we need to take it. Your soul need to reach out for that key. Now, you go to certain place, you meet with certain people, you go at work, you do all these things coming against your soul, and that's when your soul need to go to your spirit and say, God, spirit, what is happening now? And all these things that, you know, so and so, and all these things come against me right now. And speak peace. You need to minister to your soul every day. You need to, this is what I call it, a soul cleansing process. Let the water fall, wash over me. Let your spirit wash over me. A lot of time, your spirit wants to sing, but your soul don't want to sing. You know what? But let your soul allow, let your spirit lead you. Those who are led by the spirit are sons and daughters. It's not the servants who are led by the soul. Your soul, the soulish realm, your soul is like a container. It can take so much. But sometimes when it's so full with so many things, God wants to put his love in your soul, but your soul, this is what happened. When the Father ministered to you, and love of the Father, I've seen it many, almost every time. When God's love comes into somebody else, that person, everything that is in that person's soul come out. You're wondering, we're praying for the love of the Father, and the next thing we know, this person is just yelling and screaming. Why? Because all the stuff that is in the soul, it's not coming out because love is going in. You need to have, sometimes we need to go through that process. And sometimes things coming out, I've seen old men, stuff that happened when they were little boy, still stuck inside the soul. And God the Father wants to go deep, reach out to that very thing and uproot it. The enemy wants our soul to be defiled. But God wants our soul to be glorified. God wants our soul to be filled of his glory as much as our spirit. First Corinthians 2 verse 11 says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except his own spirit within them?" If you understand your thoughts, what right now, what are you thinking? You only you know. What are the things that make you know what you're thinking is your spirit? Right? Some of you are thinking about what we're going to have for lunch today. Right? That may be your stomach. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I'm talking about the things of the spirit, the revelation, the spiritual thing. When this comes to your mind, you suddenly, boom, just like, hey, I didn't realize this. Oh, guess what? That from your spirit. Your spirit will know the things of your mind, your thoughts. And then he says this, in the same way, no one can know the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. God has also thoughts. And the Bible says his thoughts toward us, they are all good. All good, all good. And I really love to go meet with friends, with people. I like to have good time. But one thing I really kind of struggling with, when I have people who are always negative, I'm not talking about understand what they're going through. I'm not talking about every 5 seconds, something, it just like, you know, pop out. It's just like, when I'm like, feel like this, but I want to be with people who have the mind of Christ, who has a thought, the thought of God, they say that God has so many good things toward us. Oh, and you go with God, God is not going to beat you up. It's not, you know, we know that. But his thought toward us, they are amazing, amazing, amazing. And if we're going to speak for God to some, to others, we need to release that. Now, I used to think, if study on the theme of prophetic word and prophecy in the past, I can say, you know what, not a lot of prophetic word come out nice. A lot of prophetic word come out was a lot of correction, a lot of direction, a lot of these things. But then I start to look at how Jesus prophesied in the life of people. I mean, the prophet prophesied, but what, is Jesus a prophet? Yes. How did he prophesy? Many different ways. Right? And everything that, when you start to learn from him, right? Speak in the right, in a way that people can understand and hear. And that's why sometimes he prophesied in parables. But this is interesting. In John 14, 15, every time God speaks, Jesus speaks, he's speaking in parable. But then 16, when Jesus speaks to them, and suddenly everybody said, you don't speak in parables anymore. What happened? One thing that happened. Just before that happened, just before the people say, the disciples say, he don't speak in parable. That same night when he was washing the feet of the disciple, that same night Judah was no more in among them. The spirit of Judah can or will stop Jesus, God, to speak to us straightforward. Always in parables. When the suit of Judah. And this year I found out that God has turned the clock for a new beginning. Last year was a lot of trial and testing, and it was a lot of people, it was very hard. A lot of churches in the state was going for a tough time. And the church going for a tough time because a lot of things happened. The economy of the and I'm in seeking the Lord and say, God, what is happening in the state? I mean, we as Canadian, we have a lot of trade with the state, and what is going to go? What's happening? What's the future? And the Lord spoke to me a couple of things and said, everything starts when this man stood up and told the nation, I have not, and lie to the nation openly, say, I have not committed any sexual sin with this woman. That's when everything starts spinning around. And the God of hope was expecting or hoping that the next president is going to do the right thing, bring a Christian veil to mandate to repent from the lie that has been spoken from the White House. It didn't happen. That thing spiraled downward. Next thing you know, the economy go bad, nation, everything. And sexual sin is a big one. Especially when the leader of a nation openly deny instead of repent. And that's one thing that we need to look at in our own life as well. A lot of time we can say no, we can deny, we can just say, yes, God, I understand. God, I want to make everything right. Righteousness will exalt a nation. There was no righteousness. And I feel like one thing that's holding Canada is because we've been standing with Israel. That's one of the reasons that this nation, God still has his grace, his favor, his mercy on this land. How many of you have did some study on past revival? Anyone? Read books on revival? Right. How many of you remember William Branham? Amazing revivalist. William Branham and George Whitefield and all, you know, the amazing, let me just share a little bit about William Branham. Just be careful with the time. When the Bible, the story says when the day he was born, just a light just flashed in that room. The day he was born. Just come in, bright light. Everybody see that light come in. The whole room was bright. And then stay there for a while and then go. That's from the first day he was born. And somehow he grew up, but he was running away from God. Is that typical? Running away until he come to a place where he need to face. You see, there's a time in our life where God wants you to stop running from him. There's a time when pride, God, the scriptures say, God is going to allow certain things, but there's a wave that God said, now I'm going to stop this wave of pride. I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. And I believe 2010 was a lot of things God was purging out of from our life. It was a year of testing. It was a year of commandment. 10 is the number of commandment. But this year, I believe God is putting everything back in beginning again. This year started with 01, 01, 11. Last week was 11, 11, 11, 11. So God is turning the clock to back to 1 again. And say, God, and interesting, yesterday I saw a book say, God is God of a second chance. How many are happy that God is God of second chance? Maybe third and fourth and fifth, you know, 10, 100. But God is second chance. And I believe there's two type of Christian. Excuse me for the expression, but and I don't want to offend anybody, but this is what I learned. This is what I know. A Christian, we're all Christian, we're all good, but you can have one who is an amateur and the one who is a professional Christian. There's a big difference between the two. One is the matter is that, you know what? I have Jesus as Lord. I'm going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. That's it. Do whatever. Not really do much. Don't really think about the rest. Right? And then there's another one who's now coming in that place, changing from Jonah to be a Joseph. And Joseph's been tested. And God has a plan for him to lead the nation. And then this is the difference. The professional Christian said, God, okay, you want me to go this way, but where am I going? That person starts to say, God, show me which direction to go. I'm going to climb this ladder, but where is this ladder leading? It's almost like this. Let me give you another expression. Somebody's looking for a job. All you need now is a job. I'm not working. I need a job. This is like months and months and months and months, or maybe years, you know, and get a job. But all that person wants is a job. But when he's in this job for a while, After season, after time, maybe after a few years, the person say, where am I going in this job? Where is this place going to lead me? Now you start to think about it the other way. So a lot of time Christian is like this. I'm a Christian now. That's it. That's why I want. I want a Christian. But after a while, you realize God has another plan. Where am I going? Hello? Okay. So God is turning everything back to 111. Okay? Let me give you a few things to help you to into that soul cleansing. A lot of time, New Year people want to go dieting, want to exercise, Roomba, and all this kind of thing, right? Baby food, diet. Okay, I want to take another 2 minutes, and then we're going to close. Okay. Soul that need healing, but the soul that is healed, is healthy, strong, there's going to be strong peace, strong joy. No matter what come, we're not going to be shaken. You know what? Sometimes, hey, pastor, what about this prophetic word about 2012, this destruction, rapture, and all that? You know, be at peace. The very center of the heart of God is a tremendous peace. There's no trouble. There's no storm. It's peace. People who are not in that place, we find the storm, but you feel in the right center will of God. No matter what's going around, you're at peace. Right? So your soul can find this peace as well. Right? Right? Okay. And that soul now, not only the spirit can do the things of God and move by faith, move by love, but now your soul is going to be able to keep up, to hold on to God, anointing. And that anointing is going to become longer and bigger and stronger. How many know that the anointing comes when the worship starts and all this kind of thing? As soon as the guitar, the leader put his guitar down, the anointing is gone. And now the soul is saying, hey, I'm here right now. But when your soul is healthy, strong, that anointing is going to go beyond. More than 24 hours a day. Right? And that is... Saul will be able to break every yoke that he carry that is not from God. Every burden, every yoke that the soul carry that is not from God, anointing can break off. Soul cleansing is very necessary after every battle. Every battle that you go through, every battle the enemy bring upon you, on your path, can be an argument. Can be every time when you go through that, you need to have a soul cleansing. Right? And if you don't do that, it's going to continue to take roots, going to defy your soul. Right? Any soulish defilement need to be purged. And cleansing your soul is also open room for the Father's love to come. I'm going to give you a couple of things. How to clean your soul. This is not in order, but there are things that I learned. And I want to share with you today. When the very first thing, when I know, when there's, every time there's a persecution, there's an opposition, where God want me to go, where God want me to do, God keep saying, and I know in my spirit, God spoke to me about doing this, and this is going to take place. A prophetic word or revelation, God said, this is what you're about to do. You're going to be this, you're going to do this, you're going to be in this place. But somehow there's opposition, there's fighting, there's a reluctance against the will of God. Right? And sometimes people that you don't expect will come against you. God, people that come against you, guess what? They are not your enemy. I want you to be able to see, understand that. You think they are your enemy, they are not. God gave Adam a helper, not an enemy. God tell Adam, you shall not eat from the fruit of that tree. And the lady say, take it, eat it. She's trying to make this man pass the test. A lot of times, things come across our way. We look at it different way. We look at it the way we understand, but God's understanding is different. His ways is a different way. And this is the time when you get this way, you have to say, God, help me. Why you gave me that friend? Why you put this person in my path? Why, you know, it's not. God is looking at, watching you. What do you do with it? That's when you need to say, God, I'm going to worship you in the midst of that. I'm going to go for that peace that surpasses understanding. One of the soul cleansing is to worship God in spirit and in truth. That moment. I tell you, every time I do it, there's victory. Every single time. But the thing is, your soul don't want you to do it. That's a battle. Your soul say, you're not going to do that. You're full. You're full right now. I'm telling you, you're going to be full. They're going to say this and this and this and this and this about you. Doesn't matter. Worship him in spirit. There was a time where I worshiped God and all the people years ago, and people in my church know what I'm going through, and they say, how can you still worship God this way? I said, it's not because of who he is. Not, I don't worship him because of what I'm going through. But God never changed. It's not about us. Worship is about him. To call upon him with true love overflowing from your heart. When you worship him, one thing you need to come out for that moment, not just the cry of your situation, but the crying of God's love that is overflowing out of your heart. When God sees that love, the Bible says that it is the love of God that will make us persevere and pass everything and get our reward. The love of God is so powerful. The love of God will come, all the things will come out. But the love of God needs to overflow. If the love of God hasn't overflowed yet, then keep going, keep going. Allow God's Spirit to counsel you and spending time in his presence and also with godly people. This is a time when you need to find a godly person. I want to spend time with you, okay? I'm going to cut my message close and I'm going to end up with this. If it's in the prophetic word in Zachariah. I'm speaking Spanish right now, so suddenly my Spanish accent come out. Okay, that's prophetic word. I want to give you this word before we go. It's in okay, you got it. Chapter 8, verse 20. This is what the Lord Almighty say. Many people and inhabitants and many cities will come yet. Many people will come, not yet, but they will come. Many inhabitants and many cities will come. And the inhabitant of one city, everybody say one? One city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. One city will, many cities, but one will say, let's go and seek the Lord Almighty. And the person will say, I myself is going. My city is going. And many people and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and entreat him. This is what the Lord say. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nation will take hold, firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe. It's talking about healing. Let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you. When God is with you, many nations will come to you. The nation, the tongue, the languages that don't know, don't have God will find you. When God is with your spirit, soul, when your spirit, your soul is aligned with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God is in you. And then say, whatever your when you're people of God, God will bring people. People will find you. Lord, let this prophetic destiny come to pass in our life. In Ajax, in Toronto, where you live. I believe this is the word here is not to Jerusalem, to the Jew, but because of that, I believe that when we have God with us, that prophetic word in Zechariah, I believe God's going to make this come to pass. The nation will come. And if you say, I am going to seek the Lord, like I show you and I explain to you, I'm going to do that with my soul, my heart, my spirit. I'm going to worship him. When God is with you, for every single one, God, the Bible says that 10 people will come and join you. The nation will come. And there's many yet to come. Right? Okay. Let's pray. Let's all stand. We close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word this morning. I have a word. Tony, I have a word for you. I believe I have a word for you. Is that okay? Let's pray for you. Tony, I feel the Lord has a lot of encouragement for you. I believe that the call of your ministry is beginning now. It's not ending. It's now is a new beginning. It's a beginning of God's calling in your life. There's been phase, but I believe like now is a new phase of God in your life. I believe of understanding that is going to make a big difference in your life. I bless you. I encourage you to hold on to your faith, to hold on to your calling. You are called. I want you to know that God wants you to know that you are called. Not being called, you are called. Today, tomorrow, and you are called by God. You're called to be a servant of God. You're called to, I understand this, you are a faithful servant. I believe the Lord said, you are a faithful servant. And all the things, all the miscommunication, all the things that in the past, God wanted to walk away and go into what your destiny. There's a plan, a purpose of prosperity, blessing, and healing upon your life. Not just for you, but for the nation to come. And God wants to release a greater anointing in your life than ever before. That your step of faith, now not just stepping out of the boat, but there's a time when the verse of one who stepped out of the boat, with the one God said, I will build my church. And God wants you to be a builder of the church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I feel also that God wants to break every discouragement, every form of discouragement upon you. I'm talking about everyone here in this room. Anything that brings discouragement is a plan of the devil to defile our soul. Every voice, everything that attached to that discouragement, God wants you to look at it a different way. Turn it around. And don't allow any discouragement to hold on to you. The Bible says, shake off the dust from your pants and walk away. There's a time to shake the dust off. And I bless you to be able to have this understanding of shaking the dust where you have been before and shake it off in Jesus' name. Let this cleansing come over you. Don't bring that dust to any other places. Shake it at the door when you leave from that place. Father, we want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise. We want to give you glory, Father, for this day. Father, we thank you for this year is a blessing you. It's a year of favor. It's a year of destiny. It's a year for the strong and courageous to conquer, to win. And you bless, you want each one of us, Father, to carry your presence in this world where we live. We don't have to be waiting to be missionary and evangelist so that we can release your presence. We can release your presence every day where we are. In the grocery store, at work, in the good bus, in the good train. Everywhere, God, your presence, we can just look at people and bless one another in our spirit, from our spirit. We thank you, God. The thoughts you have for us are good, are great, are wonderful toward us. We love you so much. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you, God. And as we go into our different ways, Father, help us, Father, to keep that word. Let the Holy Spirit take word from this, what's been spoken with this morning, to amplify, to customize it into each one's heart during the week. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. Thank you for coming.